come into this house, gathered in His name to worship God. We have come into this house, and we've gathered in His name to worship Him. Hallelujah. House, and we've gathered in His name to worship Christ alone.
We worship You, Lord.
Oh, worship Him, Christ our Lord. So let's forget about self. Let's forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Oh, we forget about ourselves. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him, and we worship Jesus Christ. Alone, worship Him, Christ. Alone.
Shalom, saints. Good morning to everybody. I didn't expect to be here today. Brother David's had to go with Davina to the hospital, so. Want to keep them in prayer, so we have to step in the breach this morning. So let's open our Bibles straight away. God bless you this morning. Welcome to the Sunday School. Matthew chapter 12. We started on Friday. We're looking at Solomon's temple, looking at the dedication. We looked at the Shekinah glory filling the house, which is our desire. I'm sure all of us desire that in this place and in our own tabernacle. Matthew 12, verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's a great thing to think about. A greater than Solomon is here. Wow. So everything that happened under Solomon was just a shadow and a type. But the greater than Solomon is here. Let's just bow our heads. Father, as we approach Thee, we need to come by the way of Your blood. We just want to move beyond our humanity. Father, all these things that rise up and all these things that come and all these things that go. And Father, we long to sit at Your feet and ask for Your grace at this time. Firstly, for the needs of Your people, Brother Anthony Mwenda with a fever. I do pray for him. I pray that You'll touch him. I pray that You'll heal him, Lord. Even Davina, we pray for her. We pray Your special grace and visitation upon her at this time. Be with Brother Dave, be with Brother Sister Scheider. Watch over them, we pray. And Father, we pray for the Sunday school, for the young ones, Lord, and for the youth. We pray that You'll bless Your people. But please bless Your word to us, Lord. Wash us in Your blood and lead us by Your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. As a Sunday school lesson, we'll take that thought, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. You know, the days of Solomon were really, really powerful days because Solomon was a type of Christ. Who knows what the name Solomon means? Does anybody know? Solomon. It comes from the word shalom, which means peace. So Solomon actually means a peaceful one. And you know the principle that in the times of peace you can build. There's two things. In the times of peace, you prepare for war. But also in the times of peace, you can build. When there's trouble, when there's strife, it's not possible to build. So David, being a man of war, there was all the battles that he was involved in, conquering the territory, conquering Jerusalem. But finally, it came to the time now, the Lord said, it's time to build. It was time to build the nation of Israel and time to build the house of the Lord. So the Lord now put a king in place who was a man of peace. And there were two things about Solomon when he was walking in the Spirit. In his former days, Solomon was a man of peace and he was a man of divine wisdom. And those are two great attributes in the life of a person. If you can find someone who's peaceful and has great divine wisdom, I think something can be established. And you find that in the kingdom of Solomon. That was the characteristics you find before Solomon was led astray because of money, woman, popularity. His weakness was woman. His heart was taken away by all those strange women. But Solomon's age was a golden age. Out of all the ages of Israel, David's was the greatest of the kingdom because he was a mighty warrior and he conquered. But Israel was the most prosperous for a short season under Solomon. You go and see, it says that gold was like stones in Jerusalem. Now the people really prospered because Solomon was walking in the ways of the Lord. And Solomon established his kingdom, especially the house of the Lord, after the heavenly pattern. If you listen to the message dedication, Brabham speaks a lot about it. He speaks about how Moses had to catch the heavenly vision. So everything that Moses built concerning the order of worship was after the heavenly pattern. And Solomon now came and built after the pattern of Moses. You see, Solomon's temple was double the size. Everything was just double the size of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But Solomon didn't lean on his own understanding. He built according to the heavenly pattern. He built according to the divine order. And anything that's built according to the divine order is going to be blessed. Now God will always back it up. God will always say amen when you, in simplicity, walk in his word. When you try to apply the word in your whatever situation in your life, your relationships, in your home, you're going to find the divine blessings going to be there. I mean, it's just the way the Lord is. We saw it on Friday when the prophet says God always fills his temples when they're dedicated to him. So anything which is made after his call because of his desire and is made after his heavenly pattern is going to receive the divine blessing. And Solomon's kingdom was a real type of Christ. Solomon's kingdom was a type of the millennium. Who knows that? Solomon's kingdom was. You can find it in the fifth seal. Solomon's kingdom, because in the millennium, Jesus is who? He's the son of David. He's seated on the throne of David. He's ruling over the Jewish kingdom. And Solomon was what? He was the son of David, seated on the throne of David. And he was ruling in a time of peace and great blessing and prosperity. So Solomon's kingdom was a shadow, a foreshadow of the millennium to come, when Jesus will be enthroned in Jerusalem, ruling over the Jewish kingdom. Because the millennium is when all the inheritance promised to Abraham is given to Abraham and to his seed after him. So it must have been a really glorious time to live in the days of Solomon, in those former years when his heart was really soft. And what was the basis now of this, of the blessing that came? Was Solomon, it was his prayer. What did he ask for? The Lord came down and said, Solomon, ask anything that you desire. Because he offered such a sacrifice. I think he offered 20,000 sheep, I think it was. He made a huge sacrifice, and that really moved the Lord. And the Lord came down at night and spoke to Solomon in a dream and said, Solomon, ask whatever you desire. I'll give it to you. And what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for a long life himself. But he asked for wisdom to go in and out before the children of God. He asked for wisdom to rule the kingdom of God with divine wisdom. Because he said, Lord, I'm but a child. Who can ever stand in front of your people? Who can ever rule your people? These are your people. This is such a great people. I need wisdom. And that really, really pleased the Lord. And the prophet says that. He says, God doesn't give that kind of a thing to everybody because he knows what we'll ask. Like if he came to some of us, we'd ask for the life of our enemies, sure as the world, you know. If he asked some of us, it would be for the riches. That's why the Lord doesn't give us that opportunity. But he knew the desire that was deep inside of Solomon. And that's why he came down and said, Solomon, whatever you ask me, I'm going to give it to you. And he said, Lord, give me wisdom to rule over your kingdom. And then the Lord came down and said, Solomon, that is wonderful. Amen. You didn't ask selfish things. You didn't ask things for yourself. You asked for a gift of wisdom to rule the kingdom. And that was the great attribute of Solomon's kingdom. There weren't many gifts in Solomon's kingdom. I mean, there weren't many miracles. Go and read it. Not too many fantastic things. It was a kingdom that was ruled by wisdom. But that kingdom was, it got such a reputation. Now, wouldn't you desire that while we're here in Charlestown? You know, there's a lot of fantastic things out there. There's all of these so-called prophets out there and all these people that, hey, you go to them and they've got their price list on the wall and you pay so many euro and they'll pray for your migraine and you pay so many euro and you'll have a child and all these kind of, all these fantastics that have brought reproach upon the name of Christ. But what is needed in this age to redeem his name is for you and I to walk in the wisdom, in his wisdom, to be a true reflection of him. That's what this world really needs to know about. Now, if you open up 1 Kings chapter 6, look when they built the temple. The Lord was so much involved in the building of the temple. And I think it's the same. If that is the natural, we are the spiritual fulfillment of the natural. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 6, it says in verse 1, it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So Solomon now gets the, well, David first had the desire. David was the one that was blessed of the Lord. He had a revelation and he had a desire. And the Lord came down and said, David, you've caught the right revelation, but you're not the right person to institute it. You've been a man of blood. You've shed much blood. You've been a man of war, but no problem. I'm going to establish your son on your throne and he's going to build the house. Because the Lord, under a shadow and a type, he was looking for a dwelling place. He had been moved about in the tabernacle, he said, in the tent, from place to place during the Exodus. Finally came to a resting place. We're in Shiloh for a season. But the Lord wanted to dwell in Jerusalem in the midst of his people. He wanted to be tabernacled in the midst of his people. So David, in due season, once the land was conquered, he gets the burden. And generally speaking, the person who gets the burden is the one who should do the job. That's generally the way the Lord does it. Like Nehemiah, we always give the example. If you get the burden to say, somebody really needs to help that person. Generally speaking, you're the person who needs to help the person because you've got the burden. You know, if you get a burden to pray for somebody, don't subcontract it out to somebody else. Say, saints, I think we ought to pray for so-and-so. No, no. If the Lord's laid the burden upon you, you follow through the burden. Because he doesn't send his word without achieving the purpose to which it was sent. Now, the Lord will never come and burden you for something if he doesn't intend to give an answer to that burden. That's what faith is. Would the Lord come and quicken your faith to believe something he doesn't want you to have? Wouldn't make any sense that. So when the Lord quickens your faith, it's a down payment. It's the earnest. It's the deposit. You're going to receive what you've asked for because it wasn't just you. That's why it says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost, he leads us to pray according to the will of God. And when you pray according to the will of God, there's a different kind of prayer because there's the presence of God in your prayer. There's the quickening of the Holy Ghost in your prayer. And if the Holy Ghost quickens you or persuades you or leads you to pray or believe for something, that's a sure token that he wants to give it to you. Now, there's other times it's very intellectual, you're praying, and you feel like your words are bouncing off the ceiling. We all know those kind of prayers. You get all emotional like the prophets of Baal. You jump up on the altar. You do all this stuff. But deep down inside of your soul, you don't have any confidence that's going to be answered. That's how Hannah was year by year when she came and she prayed at the tabernacle. You know, she needed a child and she came each year. And I'm sure she cried and felt sorry for herself and all that. But there was no something inside of her soul. There was no certain sound inside of her soul. But when she came up that year in 1 Samuel chapter 1, there was a difference. Now there was a quickening in her prayer. Now she prayed according to the will of God. And she could feel it. The Bible says when she rose up, she was no more sad. Yeah, and the anointing came down on the priesthood, on the Eli, on the ministry, and blessed her. And it's actually prophetic if you go and read it. Eli told her, you will receive what you've asked for. And that's how it is. You know when the Lord is going to answer your prayer. You feel it. You know it deep down, beyond reasoning, beyond understanding. There's something that moves beyond the veil. When the Lord stirs something up inside of you, when he gives you the desire, when he gives you the burden. So for David to have the burden to build the house of the Lord, it shows the Lord's time had come. Yeah, but it happens many, many times. You can break into the channel of somebody else's anointing. You know, maybe somebody else is supposed to do the job and you get the burden, Now you can tap into somebody else. And he got into it. The Lord's desire was for Solomon to build it. But Solomon needed David. Now he needed David to prepare the way. David was the one who set everything in order so Solomon could come in the time of peace and build the tabernacle. So now he builds it after the heavenly pattern. And the interesting thing that it says in verse 7, 1 Kings chapter 6, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought hither. Now that's exactly here. When I look at all these lively stones that are before me today, I see the Lord knows what he's doing. If ever the Lord's going to do a work, the work doesn't start now. The work started a long time ago. If the Lord's going to build a body, he's going to build the real tabernacle, his church, you'll find that he has been preparing his people in different places, in different ways, shaping them up. And he's got in his mind, he knows exactly where that stone is going to fit. You know, and you don't know why you go through the things you do when you're young. You don't know why you went through the disappointments that you did. Maybe you went through poverty. Maybe you went through sickness, affliction. Maybe you're from a broken home. And then maybe spiritually things didn't go well for you wherever you came from. You know, like us, you have problems in your church and all that kind of stuff. You don't realize that's the Lord shaping up his stones. Yeah, that's the way the Lord now has of shaping things up. And every single stone, when Peter speaks of us being lively, living stones, that we have our place in the tabernacle because we are the temple of the living God. And every stone is unique and has its unique place. Nobody can take your place. You can't take my place. I can't take yours. You are shaped. You've been fashioned. You've been prepared for something which is very, very unique. And nobody else will be able to handle and stand what you have to go through, what I have to go through. Because the Lord will never put upon you more than you're able to bear. He'll always prepare the vessel. That's why they say a king's sword, it's kept long in the fire to make sure that it's really tempered, extreme, because it's going to be used by the king. You know, so that's what it is. He takes his vessels, he takes his Moses, takes him to the backside of the desert. 40 years there, what's he doing? He's shaping him. He's purging him. He's molding him. He's working on his masterpiece. There's a heavenly vision he has inside of his mind of what this man is going to be and what this man is going to do and how the glory is going to fill the tabernacle of Moses. Moses is going to shine forth with the glory of God and do a great work. But God didn't hasten the work. You know, God didn't take any shortcuts. Moses was 40 years in the backside of the wilderness. 40 years in Egypt learning things he had to learn. And then 40 years in the backside of the desert being fashioned and formed until he was a man in the hands of God that God could now send forth to shake the world, to bring his people out of Egypt, to do a great work. And that's exactly the same one who deals with you and I. Now he says that he knew us from our mother's womb when he fashioned us. He knew our members. When David says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. No, the Lord says, David actually says in the Psalm, says, my members you wrote in your book before they were formed. You know, see, even your stature, even the color of your eyes, even the color of your skin, all of those things, those are all recorded in his book before you and I came. He was already fashioning and forming you as a lively stone. And then he takes you through various experiences in your life. He gets you to meet certain people. You're under certain tutors and mentors inside of your life. Yeah, and then one of the greatest mentors in life is disappointment. You know, his failure and the things that you go through like Moses. It just does something inside of a person and prepares the conditions so that the Lord can really come down now and his will can be done. And then finding the right season and time, there comes Moses with his burning bush experience and the Lord now takes that stone and places him into his place. And that's what's happening in Solomon's temple. They didn't bring a whole lot of rough stones to the construction site. And there's a guy with his chisel and he's shaping it up. And here comes the contractor, you know, the builder saying, we need a certain shape stone to fit in here. That's not what happened at all. Look what it says in verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. So for 40 years building this house, however long it took, there was no sound of the hammer and the axe shaping the stones. That's predestination. Yeah, that's predestination. Then you find, here comes Brother Jesse. One day he's walking down the road in Carla with his drum. Yeah, and the Lord's been fashioning and forming somebody. And then it's time now for him to take his place as a living stone in the tabernacle of the Most High. And then there's Brother Christoph, and he's in Hungary, and he's doing his stuff, playing his football when he's a young man or whatever that it was. And then the Lord has his appointed time. And then the Lord brings people from here and there. And that's how Solomon's temple was built. Solomon's temple was built of a lot of Gentile material. It wasn't all just stone that came from around Jerusalem. There were cedars of Lebanon. Now, he got a lot of stuff from Hiram, the king of Tyre, who was David's friend. So there was so much foreign material, came from different places, different regions, different locations, even in Israel. Yeah. And the Lord had ordained, look, I want the stone from here. I want the wood from there. I want the gold from there. I want the precious stones from here. And everything had its part and its place. And when the conditions were right in the kingdom, and there was the wisdom of Solomon was there, and here was peace in the kingdom, the Lord now could bring all of that material together under a heavenly pattern. Now, to be fashioned into the tabernacle of the living God. And here came the big pillars now, and here came the cedars from Lebanon, and all the different panels that overlaid the walls. You can read about it there. And finally, the building was built. And that is the wisdom of God. I find that the most amazing thing is the Lord knows exactly who to call, when to call, and the position which they need to take. The Lord never ever allows his kingdom to be without the resource. Now, just at the time when Israel was ready for deliverance, Moses was ready to deliver them. You know, it's like the Lord knows how to fashion Moses out there, fashioning this lively stone out there in the wilderness, just in time now to put his hand on that stone and put him in his position. And the greatest thing you can do, the greatest favor you can do for yourself, for us, and most importantly for the Lord, is to find your position in Christ. Yeah. Yeah, you try to take a stone and put it in the wrong place in the temple, it's going to be a hard job. Someone's trying to get a hammer and hammer that stone into the wrong sort of a place. You're going to damage the temple. You're going to damage the stone. But when you find your position, it just slips in. You know, people, they come to church, they take a little bit of time, a bit of a transition to find their bearings, get lined up to the North Star. Then you find they gravitate to their position. Nobody has to do anything. Now, this is not a human program. This is not a human organization where we're saying, you need to do this and you need to do that. No, generally speaking, in dedication, when you lay hands on somebody, you're just saying amen to what God has already done in the life of the person. Now, you can see, hey, God's hand is on this young man or this sister, whatever that it's going to be. And you just give a blessing. You just give a sanction. Say, we're just saying amen to what God is doing in the life of this person. And if you're just led and guided of the Spirit, you'll always move into the position the Lord made you. And your position is going to be perfectly compatible with your temperament. Because God is going to use a man the way that he made him. You know, if you got a Brother George, you're not going to be a Bible teacher, you know, sitting down there. Brother George is the talkative guy and he's the evangelistic sort of person. You find those kinds of people. Whereas you find another person is given to this, another person is given to that. But every single one of those stones, though there were different shapes and sizes, everyone had its place in Solomon's temple. And when all the pieces were in place now, the kingdom was ruled by wisdom and peace. That a dedication service, and the Lord came down in his glory. And he filled that tabernacle. And that wisdom of Solomon now, and the glory of the kingdom, the reputation went far and wide. They didn't even need to evangelize. They didn't have to say, hey, let's have an evangelistic service. Let's go down to the south. We hear there's some heathens down there. Let's go and evangelize them. The Lord had his own way of evangelizing in that age. And you read chapter 10 as we finish off at chapter 10. What does it say? This wisdom of Solomon in the kingdom. And when the queen, chapter 10, verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. So she heard of the wisdom of Solomon. You know, she had tried different religions, she had tried different things, trying to find satisfying answers to these perplexing questions, the fundamental questions of life that she had. And what are the big questions of life? Who am I? What am I here for? Yeah. And those are the big fundamental questions of life. Yeah. And people are searching and they try New Age and they try, you know, different kinds of religion, Eastern religions and all this. And they find, all these mystic experiences are fine, but they don't give me a satisfying answer inside of my soul. It's only the Word of God, which is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that can come and settle inside of your soul and personally answer your questions to the satisfaction that you're seeking inside of your life. And this queen of the south, she tried so many different things. Then one day somebody came down from Israel. Maybe some trader came selling her some stuff, some spices, whatever. Said, wow, I've just been up there at that convention up there in Jerusalem. You should see the wisdom of those people. You should see the order of that house of worship. You should see how that kingdom is governed. And something stirred inside of her. She said, maybe this is what I'm looking for. And she had all these questions piled up inside of her heart. And she's tried asking so many different people and nobody can answer her question. She gets on her camel. She gets her camel train, comes from the uttermost parts of the earth, through the bandits, through the desert, through trials, toils. She's determined. Something's moving inside of her. And then she comes now to Solomon and says she proved him with hard questions. Verse 2 at the end says, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Finally, she found a place. She said, there's a wisdom here. There's something, there's a discerning power here. I think maybe I can get my questions answered. And she speaks what's inside of her heart. And it says in verse 3, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Friends, that's where you want to be. I love other things. I love the emotion. I love the gifts. I love the anointings. But when that word comes personally and settles in your soul, and you are shut in the presence of God and he's speaking to you through his word, I don't have anything more satisfying in this life. When he's coming personally down and he's telling you your questions and he's speaking of the deep that is inside of you. That's a resting place, friends. That's a place that you want. That's now being within the veil. That's the secret place of the Most High. Now, that's the real place where you get the answers that you need. That's where you get the sword of the Spirit. That's where you get the thus saith the Lord, that when the enemy comes against you and says it is written, you can say it is written also in that kind of a situation. And it says in verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house which he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and the apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. They didn't have to say anything to her. They didn't really have to say anything. It was just the divine order in the kingdom. It was just the heavenly pattern in simplicity being lived out among the people on a daily basis. And she said, this is what I was always looking for. Verse 6, she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of your acts and of your wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Wow, what a testimony. Imagine somebody coming in here and there's song worships going on and they get up and say, I want to just say something. Blessed is the Lord God of you people. God so much loved you that he gave you a song leader like this man. God so much loved you that he gave you deacons like this. God so much loved you. The proof of his love, he gave you such Sunday school teachers like you have. God proved his love by giving you such technicians the way that he did. And you could go through all the offices of the church. Your life and mine, when we're just walking in the simplicity of the heavenly pattern of the word, is the most powerful witness that you'll ever make to anybody. You don't need to speak very much. You know, just as you're led of the Spirit, even in simple fellowship, you're unveiling the thoughts and intents of somebody's heart. And somebody's coming with questions, deep questions inside their life. And the word, which is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, just goes. And that's the wisdom of the greater than Solomon. This is the wisdom of Solomon. We have a greater than Solomon is here. Wow, the power and potential in the house of the living God. With all of the living stones that are here today. Everyone in their position, everyone in their place. Wow, I think it's a great blessing, friends. That's the amazing thing to me, is that whenever the Lord raises up a work in any place, he knows exactly the people to bring. And the people, everyone takes their place, and everybody now starts moving in the Spirit, and what a blessing that it becomes. And that's what she says. She says, verse 9, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great stone, precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Wow. What does that speak of? People come with their gifts. Yeah, they come with the riches which the Lord has bestowed upon them. Now, we're not speaking so much naturally, but spiritually. That's what we want. We see Brother Nat there. The Lord's given him riches, given him spiritual wisdom, understanding, and experience. And somebody comes into the house of the Lord, and they sit for a while, and they see the order of his house. And now they want to pour out as well what God has given them to support that something, because they see that God is in these things. Now, that is our desire as we come to this place, Charlestown. Now, we would desire that the fame of this house, in simplicity, would spread around this area. That people that are suicidal and people that are full of anxiety and people that have got incurable diseases and people that have perplexing questions and people that are frustrated with man's religion, if the fame of the wisdom of a greater than Solomon, which is Christ in the midst of his people, would go forth. And this would be a house of healing. This would be a place where people come and find answers. This would be a place where people come and say, yeah. This is what I've been looking for all the days of my life. Not because we are perfect people, but because we are filled with one that is perfect. Because a greater than Solomon is here. Let's stand, saints. Let's finish. Let's just bow our heads as we then hand over to Brother George for song worship. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Solomon. We thank you for the type. But Jesus, we know it's just a reflection of you. And we just want more of you, Lord. We just want to be more like you. We just want to reflect you. We just want to glorify you. And Father, this house, this building, that's what you want to dedicate it for, Lord. Is Father, let a greater than Solomon reveal himself in this place, in all of your gifts, in all of your manifestations, all of your offices, Lord. Let them be manifest in and through your people, we pray. And bless each of your servants in the post of duty upon this day. Father, be glorified, Lord. And Father, let your glory, let your fame go forth from this place. That, Father, that seeking soul may find what they're looking for. May you bless the remainder of the service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.